Okay, tonight's shiur is Parshas Vayakal Pekudei, the last section of Sefer Shmos. And again, just scheduling note, next week, Baruch Hashem, there will be a shiur, it's about Parshas Vayikra, and there will be a Thursday night, those Haggadah listeners of the past number of years, the Haggadah shiur will be next Thursday night, hopefully it will be posted by then, and Baruch Hashem, there will be new material. So those of you who have been listening the past couple of years, there are always new Haggadahs that come out. So, Bez Hashem, it'll be up by next Thursday night. The following week, there will not be a shiur on Parsha Sav. Won't be able to give one that week, but the next week will be the Parsha and the Haggadah. Okay, so, Vayakel Pekudei. Start off with one small thought from the Chiyucha Shel Torah. A little sefer called Chiyucha Shel Torah with two three-liners. Vayakel Moshe, we know Rashi says at the beginning of the Parsha, Moshe gathered all of Klal Yisrael together. When did he gather them together? When was this Vayakel? Moshe, Rashi says, the first Rashi, L'machras Yom HaKippurim, the day after Yom Kippur, Kishayarad Min Ahar, when he went down the mountain. When he came down to the mountain for the third time, first 40 days were, right, he went to, from Shavuos to Shavuos HaBetamos, that was the first 40, first Luchos, next 40, Shavuos HaBetamos until Rosh Chodesh Elul, to get forgiveness for Klal Yisrael, and then the third 40 was Rosh Chodesh Elul till Yom Kippur. He comes down on Yom Kippur, and the day after Yom Kippur, Vayakel Moshe, he gathers all Klal Yisrael together to start commanding them. So the day after Yom Kippur, Al Derech Drush, says the Chiyucha Shel Torah, Vayakel Moshe, when were all the Jews together? The day after Yom Kippur. To have Achdus on Yom Kippur doesn't take so much. We're all in shul. We're all ma'ached. To have the achdus on Yom Kippur is wonderful. But to have the achdus the day after Yom Kippur, that's something to talk about. Vayakel Moshe, l'machras Yom HaKippurim. That's the challenge. To keep it up after Yom Kippur. To keep up the inspiration after Yom Kippur. To keep up the feelings after Yom Kippur. Vayakel Moshe, l'machras Yom HaKippurim. Okay, so we know at the beginning of the parsha, we have another discussion of Shabbos. We had Shabbos last week. We have Shabbos many times. We have Shabbos in Parshas Bereishis. So again, you can never talk enough about Shabbos. So one halachic discussion related to Shabbos, and that is based on a Gemara in Maseches Yuma. The Gemara in Maseches Yuma on Daf Pei Hei in Source number 2. The Gemara there has five. I didn't give you the whole Gemara, but the Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Hei has five or six different sources that teach us that when somebody's life is in danger, then one is Bechal Shabbos. And it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Shabbos is pushed aside. Shabbos is a life. The human life takes precedence over Shabbos. Even a Safik Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos. What's the source of that? And again, beginning of the Parsha. Sheishis Yamim Teyasa Malacha. Oviyom HaShvi Shabbos Shabbason. So again, it's another Parsha to talk a little bit about Shabbos. Says the Gemara, what's the source? I gave you the last two sources in the Gemara. Rishim and Menasya Omer. Rav Shimon Menasya says, "V'sharmu v'nei Yisrael asa Shabbos. B'nei Yisrael keep Shabbos. Omra Torah, chalel alav Shabbat achat, k'dei sheyishmar Shabbosos harbe. Keep this Shabbos, or chalel Shabbat achas. Be mechalel this Shabbos. If my life is in danger on one Shabbos, violate it. Don't keep this Shabbos. Save the life so that you could keep many more Shabbatot in the future. Chalel Shabbat achat." We learned it out from a pasuk in last week's parsha. V'shamru v'nei Yisrael to Shabbos. Keep Shabbos. Keep many Shabbosim. Even if that means you have to be mechala one of them. That's source number one that we're going to mention. How do you know that Shabbos is pushed aside for pikuach nefesh? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, fourth line. Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel. So sometimes Rabbi Yehuda quotes Rav, sometimes Rabbi Yehuda quotes Shmuel. So here Rabbi Yehuda quotes Shmuel. I havi hasim, if I would have been there, says Shmuel, after these six or seven sources listed are in the Gemara, hava amina didi adifa miditu. I have a better source than any of the other sources mentioned in the Gemara. What's the source? V'chai bahem, v'lo sheyamus bahem. Famous pasuk, you shall live by them. You shall live with the mitzvahs. You shouldn't die by the mitzvahs. There shouldn't be a mitzvah that you have to die for, except the three, as we know, the big three averus. But other than that, you should live with the mitzvahs, not die with the mitzvahs. And the Gemara ends off, Amar Rava, Lekulu Islu Percha, Barmi de Shmuel, de Leslu Percha. Shmuel is the best source. V'chai Bahem V'lo Sheyamus Bahem. And that is the source that most poskim quote, V'chai Bahem. But one or two Rishonim also quote the second to last source. Chalal Shabbat Achad Kedei Sheyishmer Shabbosos Harbe. Why is that significant? We'll see in a minute. But first, let's see where one of the Rishonim quotes that source. It's a Rambam in Hilchas Mamrim. The Rambam, in a totally different context, quotes this source. What does the Rambam say in source number 3? V'yesh lebezdin la'akar afdvarim elu lefisha'a. Afapishu katam in Arishonim. If there is a law, Chazal, the rabbis, have the power to temporarily knock out a din. Harasha, don't do this now. Don't do this, Harasha. Elio Anavi is on Har HaKarmel. He can bring a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. Aneni Hashem Aneni. Why? Because Nevi'e HaBaal, Bnei Yisrael, being led to the Avodah Zarah. Harasha, this is what I have to do. At various times in history, Chazal have the power to knock out a din. Continue. Shalo yugzeros elu chamerim divrei Torah atzma. Shafilu divrei Torah yishlo kol bezdin la'akaros on harasha. Even a din daraisa, Chazal could say, don't do this mitzvah. Don't do this. Don't prevent yourself from doing this aveira. Ketzad, for example. Bezdin shero lachazik hadas falaso siyog. Kidei shalo yavru ha'amal divrei Torah. Bezdin decides to make a rule in order to strengthen the Torah so people aren't led away. Makin shalo kedin va'onchin shalo kedin. They can do whatever they want on a temporary basis to uproot a certain law. And then the Rambam says, he gives his mashal, last five lines. Kishem sherofe chotech yado o raglo shel zeh. Just like Rachmano and Slan, sometimes a doctor will amputate a limb to save the body. If somebody has an infection in the foot and it's spreading, you amputate the foot, Rachmano and Slan, to save the person's life. Just like on a person, we amputate to save the body. Kach bezdin morin bizmamin azmanim laver al mixas amitzos lefisha. Kedesha is kaimu kulan. So too, Bezdin will knock out a mitzvah. Every mitzvah symbolizes a part of our life. Bezdin could amputate one mitzvah in order to save the larger world of mitzvos. Bezdin will say, you can't do shofar this year because of the larger framework of Chilul Shabbos, of Shema Yavirenu. Many examples on a temporary basis. And then the Rambam ends off. Kederech she'amru chachamim. Just like our rabbis tell us, Harishonim chalel sha'alav Shabbat achat kedei sheyishmar Shabbosos harbe. Be mechala one Shabbos in order to keep many Shabbatot. So you see, the Rambam mentions this. Even though Shmuel in the Gemara said, Rava said that Shmuel's din was the best. V'chai b'hem v'lo sheyamas b'hem. Why is it so important what source is quoted? So I'll give you three quick examples of halacha, that halacha l'maisa, we paskin a certain way in a certain case, because of the svara of Chalel Shabbat Achat, Kedei Sheyishmer Shabbosos Harbe. And V'chai Bohem wouldn't be good enough in order to, for the basis of the halacha. First halacha, now on the left side, says the Minchas Asher collects these halachas, Rav Asher Weiss, in source number 4 on the left side. Line 1, Kazav Aran B'Yuma. The Ran and Yuma says, and we paskin this way, the mechallelin Shabbos kedei lahatzil es haubar. The pregnant woman has something, she doesn't know what's going on. She feels that maybe, or we know for sure, the fetus is in danger. The fetus is not fully alive. The fetus is not a nefesh. We know the fetus is not a nefesh. After all, we know if the mother's life is in danger and the fetus is causing the mother's life to be in danger, the mother's life takes precedence. Because the mother is alive. The fetus is not fully alive. And yet we paskin that we could be mechal Shabbos for an ubar. Could drive to the hospital. Could be mechal Shabbos for a fetus. Where does that come from? V'chai b'hem? Lo shayamas b'hem? He's not alive yet. It's not based on v'chai b'hem. Says the Ran, you know what it's based on? Chalel Shabbat achat, kedei sheyishmar Shabbosos harbe. Be mechal this Shabbos. So this fetus can have a whole life of keeping Shabbos. V'chai b'hem isn't good enough. Chalel Shabbat achat, kedei sheyishmar Shabbosos harbe. Another example where we see this source comes in. Tosfos in Maseches Baba Metzia discusses Elyo HaNavi, who had to do Tchiyas HaMesim to the Ben HaTzarfit. Elyo in Nitma line 15, LeBen HaTzarfit kedei lahachioso. Elyo HaNavi was Metame himself, made himself Tame kedei lahachioso in order to revive the son. Af Shekoen Haya. Even though he was a Kohen, we know Eliyahu was Pinchas. Zachary Vimatami himself. Hakadosh Baruch Hu could be mitami himself. Mishud bepikuach nefesh docha kol haTorah. Pikuach nefesh. So he could be mitami himself. V'halo pashut dekrat v'chay bohem l'chayim nem v'lo l'mesim. This isn't about Shabbos. This is about a different avera. V'chay bohem doesn't apply if somebody's already dead. To bring him back alive, you could violate and be mitami yourself. Another example, this svara, be mechalel one Shabbos in order to be to keep many Shabbosos in the future. Okay, let's we'll do the third one for now, but that's just one halachic idea in the parsha that we could mention based on Hilcha Shabbos. Okay, now let's go back to some agada. And we start Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Chaf Hey and Chavav. Let's read the Pesukim. Lamed Hey, Chaf Hey and Chavav. As we know, Vayakal Pekudei is a repeat of Truman Tetzaveh. Says the Pasuk Chaf Hey, Lamed Hey Chaf Hey. V'chol isha chachma slave biyadeha tavu. Every woman who is wise of heart wove all of the garments, all of the materials, all of the curtains. Vayaviyu matves atcheles vasargaman. She took all of the threads and she wove it. Next pasuk. V'chal anashim asher nasa liban usana v'chachma tavo esaizim. All the women that were nosea liban, they raised their hearts to act with chachma. They wove from the wool of the goats and they made all the materials of the Mishkan. Question one. What's the difference between pasuk chafhei and pasuk chavav? Both of them say that the women who are chachmat lev, nasan liban, the women who are involved, they did the sewing in the Mishkan. What's the difference between chachmas lev and nasa liban? What are those two categories of women? Second question. Look at Rashi. Rashi, tavu es ha'izim, on pasach chavav. He haisa umanus yisera. Rashi here quotes a Gemara Masechta Shabbos. There was an amazing chachma that these women were doing with this weaving. Sheme al gabe haizim hayutavin osan. They were able to weave with the wool while it was still on the sheep. Can't fathom how they did that. But that's what the pasuk says. Tavu es haizim. Sorry? Right, they spun it. They spun it while it was still on the animal. Right, usually you do the shearings, you do gozes, and then you take the wool and you deal with it. But they spun it while it was still on the animal. Wonderful. Tavu es ha'izim. The question is asked of Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer. Why is it that that chazal is only on the second pasuk? Pasuk chavav. The women that were nesa'on liban, tavu es ha'izim. Okay, they get it from the phrasing of they spun the goats. They didn't spin the goats, they spun the wool while it was still on the goats. But is there a specific reason why that chazal is only on the second pasuk chavav, and not on the first pasuk chafhei? Says of Yosef Nechemya Kornitzer, there were two groups of women that came to the Mishkan. There were the chachma slave women, and there were the nesa'on libo women. What's the difference? Let's read his words. Says of Yosef Nechemya, line 9, source number 5. V'hanira be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach, kvar amru chazal. Chazal tell us in Meseches Brachos, kol atole b'schus atzmo, tolin lo b'schus akherim. Klomar, kol asomech al kocho marin lo she'in kocho gadol kokach. If I rely on myself, if I think I'm so great, I could accomplish as my kochos, I will be proven wrong. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will prove to me, ultimately, that there are a lot of kochos beyond me. If I take a lot of the credit, then I will see my limitations. Hachanami. The first category of women were those who were chachmas lev. They were wise women. They were women that came who thought they were chachamot, who knew they were. But they came thinking, kochi va'otzem yadi. Hayu nashim chachma slave klomar shebeteva hayu balot kisharon. They had abilities. These women were tremendous spinners and weavers. Vehema nikshu al hamalacha smuchot betuchot akishronan. They approached the malacha. We're the experts. Give it to us. Give us that tchelas and argaman. We're here. Ube emes also lahen ube yadei hatavu. And they did it. They succeeded. They did wonderful work. That's pasuk chaf hey. V'chol isha chachma slave biyadei hatavu. Thank you. So they spun it, and they did it. But then, they didn't go above and beyond what their kochos allowed them to do. They had a certain level of koach, of potential, and they did it. But, line 17, Yesh aloha yubali kisharon kolkach. There were some women that did not have such abilities. They didn't have such great skill in the spinning area. But you know what they had? They had the ratzon to succeed. They had the deep desire to work for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash. What were they? Olsa liban. They had uplifted hearts. They wanted to do it. They wanted to serve Hashem. L'shem Shamayim, Nasa Osam L'kavala Malacha, V'samchu al Ezer Shakai Bimaron. They said, you know what? We'll try it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the rest. V'zu kol an Hashem asher nasa libano sane b'chachma, shemiteva lo hayu chachma slave. Naturally, they didn't have such abilities. Ach liban nasa otan. Their hearts carry them. L'naso davar b'chachma. You know what? Let's try it. This is for Klal Yisrael. It's for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yan lo batchu al kochan. And because they didn't focus and rely only on their abilities, but it was all about doing it for Hashem. The Adarabad, L'shem Shamayim Nichnasu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them superhuman chachma and tavuas ha'izim. And they were able to do it on the sheep themselves. They were able to spin it. And that's what he says. Al-Kain Hoya Hashem Be'ezram. V'etzlichu lasuz umnes yisera v'tavuas ha'izim daika. Kepir Shrasi. Dafka on the second pasuk is Chazal. On Chavav, not on Chavhei. Because it's the Nasa'al Liban women that really made an amazing mark. Not just the Chachma slave women. Umusar Haskel Yotze Mizeh. Says the last Rav in Krakow. The Musar Haskel for us is Im Eis Lasos Lashem. Gama Chalash Yomar Gibarani. If somebody's doing something for the community, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Am Yisrael, that's not a time to say, I can't do it. I don't have the gifts to do it. I have to try. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help me do the rest. Hashem will do the rest for me and help me out with all of my abilities. Rabbi Yosef Nechemia, on two categories of women that came to help in the Mikdash, in the Mishkan. Okay, continuing. Turning over the page. Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Zayin. So, after the repetition of all of the Nidavis, all of the donations that were brought by Klal Yisrael, Pasuk Hey, Lamed Vav Hey, Vayom Ramosha Leymar, Marbim Amavid, there's so much here. Halavai, every person who is in public work trying to raise money, halavai they should have this problem. Moshe says, enough. We should all have such building issues. Enough, so much, too much money to deal with. That's too much. So what happened? Vayisam Moshe. Moshe sent out an email. Vayavir kol b'machin aleimar. He sent out the message. Ish al yasu od malach l'shum asakodesh. Right? There was the midbar list. Right, he put it out. No more. We don't need any more. Vayikali ha'amehavi. Fine. No more. Va'malacha, I said, dayam l'chol malacha lasos osava huser. Unbelievable amounts were brought. Everybody sent. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky just has a ha'ara. A ha'ara. A note. Source number 6. Bo ure'e yakrus v'chavivus ha'mitzvah. Look at the chavivus, the precious quality, the way that B'nai Yisrael looked at mitzvahs. They were so beloved to them. Because think about what's going on here. Shaharei, kama kesef v'zov avanim tovos v'chadome nishtaka b'vinyan ha'mishkan. How much was sent for the Mishkan? Tons! It was too much for the Mishkan. V'kama chadashim yagob asiyaso. And how much they worked tirelessly to build the Mishkan. And now he says, think about it, ube emes, lo hayutzrichin oso el chadashim achadim, il malechatu bimeraglim, v'hayunechazim tekev l'aret Yisrael. Think about it. How long was the Mishkan supposed to be built for? How long were they supposed to use the Mishkan for? A couple of days? A couple of weeks? How long were they supposed to build the Mishkan for? At this point in history, they were supposed to go into Eretz Yisrael very soon. They were going to build the Mishkan temporarily, and then go into Eretz Yisrael, conquer the land, and then build the Beis HaMikdash. And yet, B'nai Yisrael did not stop giving. And yet, nobody said, how long is my plaque going to be up there for? Right? How long? Nobody worried about that. Nobody worried about the monuments. This Mishkan was only going to be for a short amount of time, but you know what? There was such lishma in how they did it, they didn't care. They sent and sent and sent. Don't worry about it. V'hayubonim binyan shalavanim. They would have gone into Eretz Yisrael and built the Beis HaMikdash. V'harei nimsa. So what does it come out? Shekol yigiyasam haisa rak lakiyah mitzvahs v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. To give Hashem a little spot temporarily to reside His presence. Kavayacho. We don't know what the schar mitzvahs are. We have to be careful about every mitzvah. That's what this shows you. Klal Yisrael's love for Vasuli Mikdash, imkein l'chol mitzvah u'mitzvah, tzarechu li'os yageya kokach b'mesiris nifla, k'chol chach me'lev, halalu sheyagol l'hakim asem mishkan. That's the message, the overall message that we get from this. So many donations, and so much was sent. And yet we have to realize, it was just for a temporary giving, and yet, B'nai Yisrael give it. They were totally besimcha. They weren't interested in the credit that they were going to get. It's one thought to put in here, which is not on the sheet, because I saw it after I made the sheet, that I wanted to mention. Talk about V'yakav Akuta, you have to talk about the mirrors. Every year you have to one thought about the mirrors. Lamed Ches, moving now towards the end of V'yakel. Lamed Ches Ches. We know, separate parsha, Vayas es hakiyar nechoshes, ves kano nechoshes, made the kiyar, the place where the Kohanim washed their hands, ves kano, the base, the kiyar which stood in between the Mizbeach and the Hecho, the kiyar there, the Kohanim washed their hands and their feet before they did any avoda. But what was it made out of? Bimaros hatsovos, with the mirrors, asher tzavu pesach alamoy, which mirrors, we spoke about last year a little bit, the mirrors from Benos Yisrael and Mitzrayim, but it was made out of mirrors. Why was it so important that the kiyar had a mirror? It's made out of mirrors. It was the source of having a sink with a mirror in front of you. What's the source of that? Why is it important to have a mirror? The Kohanim have to look at themselves in the mirror before they do the avoda. So in Bukharas al Shabbos Oneg, in the second volume, a thought is quoted from the Magen Mezrich. He quotes, it's not on your sheet, Shitzara kaladam livchon es atzmo ki'ilu hu mabit b'mara. Every once in a while, maybe more than every once in a while, we have to look in the mirror. We have to look and analyze ourselves. Shekain, ka lo la adam la havchin b'chisronos chaveiro. It's very easy to look at other people. All day we're looking at other people and saying what's wrong with them. Ve'ilu b'chisronos atzmo, eino mavchin klal v'klal. But how often do we look at ourselves and point out what's wrong with us? That is why, before the Kohanim, every single day, started the Avoda, they looked in the mirror. They had to go to the... Every morning, you do the Avoda without washing your hands and feet? It's a daraisa. Gotta wash your hands and feet. When you're washing your hands and feet, you look in the mirror. So instead of focusing on others, I focus on myself. If I look at my friend, I gotta look at myself first. And that's the tafkid of the Maros Hatzovos. To remind the Kohanim, don't just look at everybody else. We've got to look at ourselves. Maybe we can use that, right, for ourselves. Don't have to have the kiyar. We wake up in the morning, we look in the mirror. One of the reasons we wash our hands every morning, Netilas Yadayim, various reasons. We wash it three times because of the Ruach Ra. But the other two reasons, why do we wash our hands in the morning? Number one, because we might have touched one of the Makomas HaMechusim, one of the covered spots on our body. But the other reason in the Rishonim given is we are like the Kohen, starting the Avoda. Every morning, we have an Avoda to do. So we wash our hands in the morning, like the Kohen who's Makadish in the Kiyar. So if that's true every morning for Netilas Yadayim, so maybe we could stretch it when we look in the mirror in the morning. We should remember, let me look at myself a little bit, not so much at other people. The Maros Hatzovos on the Kiyar. Okay. Continuing. Perek Lamed Ches, Pasik Chaf Beis. Lamed Ches Chaf Beis. Fourth to last Pasik in beginning. Beginning, of Pekudeh. Got to give equal time. We have three or four thoughts on Vayakel. Now three or four thoughts on Pekudeh. Pekudeh starts off. These are Pekudeh HaMishkan. U'Betzalel ben Uri ben Chor l'mate Yehuda. Asa es kol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Betzalel did exactly what Moshe said. He's kol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Rashi quotes, I didn't translate it correctly. Everything that Hashem commanded Moshe, Betzalel did. So Rashi picks up on that. The Pasuk doesn't say he did everything that Moshe told him to do. The pasuk says he did everything that Hashem told Moshe to do. Says Rashi, Asher tziva oso Moshe inksiv kan. Does not say he did everything that Moshe commanded him to do. Ela kol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. He did everything that Hashem told Moshe to do. Afilu dvarim shelo amer lo rabo hiskima daitu l'masha amer l'moshe misinai. Bitzala was such a chacham. He figured out things that Moshe didn't even tell him. Hashem told Moshe something. Moshe did not tell Bezalel, and Bezalel figured out that this is what Hashem wanted him to do. What was that? What didn't Moshe tell him? Ki Moshe tziva leBezalel la'asos tchila kelim v'yachar kach mishkan. Moshe told Bezalel, first build the kelim, the aron, the menorah. First build all the kelim. You know what? And then build the mishkan. Then build the structure. That's what Moshe told him to do. Look at Parshas Truma. Parshas Truma is all about the kelim first. And then at the end of Truma, you have the walls, the krushim, and then the urios. But first comes the kelim. Amar lo Bezalel, Bezalel tells Moshe, Minaka olam lasos tchila bayis vakach mesim kelim besocho. Usually you build a house first, and then you bring all the items that go into the house. You know, imagine bringing your lift, bringing a moving, and then put everything where the house is supposed to be, and then say, okay, then you build the contractor and build the house around the stuff. You don't do it that way. First you build the house, and then you put everything in it. So says Bezalel, why are you telling me to build the kelim first? And then the mishkan. Oh my lo, says Moshe to Bezalel, how do you know that? Kach shamati mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's exactly what Hashem told me to do. I switched it. Omer lo Moshe, Bitzel kel hayita. You must be in the shadow of God. Bitzalel, Bitzel kel. Ki vada kach tzivali HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what Hashem told me. Vikchein asa hamishkan tchila v'akach asa kelim. And that's exactly what Bitzalel did. First, he built the mishkan, the krushim, the structure. And then he built and worked on the kelim. That is the Rashi. Oh, so that's what we're going to talk about. Says, and the really Rashi is based on a Gemara in Maseches Brachas. I gave it to you, source number 8. Bezalel, Hashem Chachmaso Nikra. Bezalel, the name comes from Bezalel El, B'shasha Amalel HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe Leich. Amalel Bezalel, Asilim Mishkan, Aron V'Kelim. Moshe was Mahapeched. Moshe switched it, build the Aron and the Kelim first. And then he says to Moshe, what are you talking about? And Moshe says, you're right. The question of the Pnei Yehoshua is, what did Moshe do that for then? If Bezalel was right, that it made so much sense, and Moshe was even masking afterwards. And that's what Hashem told Moshe. So what did Moshe switch it for? Moshe went against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe, we know, was, right, the Shechina Medeberes Mitoch Grono, exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe. Moshe said, it's a Navi. Well, give him the right to switch it. Why'd he switch what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him? Hashem says, first build the Mishkan and then build the Kelim. Moshe tells Bezalel, first build the Kelim and then build the Mishkan. Bezalel says, no, it doesn't make sense. First you got to build the Mishkan and then build the Kelim. Oh, you're right. That's what Hashem told me to do. So why did Moshe switch it for? That's the Kasha of the Pnei Yeshua on that Gemara in Maseches Brachos. So there are many answers given to this question. The Pnei Yeshua has his answer. We're going to have a different answer from the Gaon Yaakov. The Gaon Yaakov is one of the Mefarshim in the Ein Yaakov. The Ein Yaakov, one of the great Svarim on Agadata, which has four or five Svarim in it. So one of them is the Gaon Yaakov. So on that Gemara in Brachos, that answer is given. The following answer is given, which I gave you in source number 9, quoted here in the Kamotzi Shalal Rav on Parshas Pekudei. Alderak Drush. Let's start with line 13. He quoted the question of the Pnei Yeshua, and now he says, Mipnei Kalelu, because of all of these problems, Nokid Baal Gon Yaakov Bederak Drush. The Gon Yaakov gives the following answer. Toch Shehu Makdim Es HaYadua, with the following introduction. Shekol hakelim v'abegodim v'shar ho'inyanim shenazu emlechaz ha'mishkan. Everything about the Mishkan, every kli, every curtain, every bolt, every screw, everything about the Mishkan, haya lahem me'ein levush chitzoni v'levush pnimi. I'm on line 15 in source number 9. Everything in the Mishkan had a physical embodiment. It had a physical guf. You saw it. You could touch it. It was tangible. It was physical. And there was a levush pnimi as well. There was a pnimius. There was a neshama to the menorah. There was a neshama, not a neshama like we know it, but there was the significance, the inner significance of the menorah, of the aron, of the kruvim, of every board. Everything had a levush chitzoni, and a levush pnimi. Hagash, halavush hachitzoni hagashmi, the physical part of every kli, hu amatara hagashmish, shalishma nasa kolechem and akelim avagodim. They were each made with perfect precision. They were made in the physical realm. They were physical raw materials, and they were made perfectly. That was the guf. But we know there were special kavanos that were used when the Mishkan was built. But there was also the inside of the kelim, the neshama of the kelim, or pnimi, v'ruchnius elokis. There was the inner light, the godly ruchnius, v'seichel nivdal. There was a pnimius. Even the sun, we know, like, oh, only humans have a neshama. The sun and the moon, we say also praise Hashem. Right? We say in Keladon every Shabbos morning, Yitzaram bedas bebino v'haskel. He created them to have das and haskel. That's how one of the mafarshim explain it. So to hear, every kli, every physical kli has a neshama. Vishneim naso ede betzalel. V'aleim namar, and that's what it means. The Mishkan is described as Maisa Charash V'choshev. What's the double lashon? Charash. That's the artisans. That's the physical Charashim. The people who worked on Maisa Hagashmi Shel HaKelim. V'choshev. It's the Machshavis. It's the Lishma element. There was a Panimi created. So every Kli, every item in the Mishkan, there was a physical realm and there was the spiritual Panimi realm. V'hine. Says the Gon Yaakov on 21. Kasher anu roam davar amurka miruach migeshem. When we see anything that has physical and spiritual properties to it, what do we recognize first? What do we recognize first? You see somebody coming down the street. First, you see them. You see them physically. You see their physical, because we live in a gashmi world. So what we recognize first is the gashmi. If you don't know somebody, so you meet them. Hi, how are you? You meet them physically. You get to know them. You realize their personality. We realize what makes them tick. We realize what's their mahus, the pnimius in the person. But that only comes afterwards. Because in the physical gashmi world that we live in, first comes the recognition of the gashmi side of it, and then comes the ruchni side of it. Markishim anu tchila es hageshem shebo. V'rak la'achem ikanas haruchni shebekirbo. And only afterwards the inside. Imlu dugma, for example, as I just said, roam anu es ruvein. We see Reuven coming down the street. Kodem anu roam es gufo. First we see Reuven's body, or the etzem ubasar, skin, bones, and flesh. Meaning we see Reuven physically. V'rak ah kasher anu miskarvin v'roam es atnua. We see him moving. We realize, oh, there's a life inside. Oz margishim anu shehu chai. We see that he's alive. And we talk to him a little bit, and we realize what he's all about. So that's when we realize his pnimius. Says the Gon Yaakov, though, that's only in this world. In this world, first we recognize the Gashmi first, and then we recognize the Ruchni. Kol zehu ba'olam hazeh, line 26. Ach ba'olam ruchani, shom ha'ruchni is krova yosem and ha'gashmi. If you live in a Ruchnius world, then the first thing you recognize is the Ruchnius, is what's inside. Lachin kodem kol margishim b'tzad ruchani, v'yagalachem ikein tzad gashmi. In a ruchnius world. So then, what would we recognize first? The tzad ruchani, the tzad pnimi. And only afterwards, the tzad gashmi. So says the Gon Yaakov now. Every kli ha-mishkan, let's put it all together to try to answer the question of the Pnei Yoshua. Every kli, every item in the mishkan had a levush chitzoni, a physical existence, and a pnimi, a spiritual inner existence. So what do you do first? What do you mention first? Mishum Kach, line 4. Moshe Rabbeinu. What did we start off this year tonight? L'machmas Yom HaKippurim. For the past 120 days, he has been on the top of Har Sinai. What type of existence is he coming from? Where has he been? He hasn't eaten a good meal in 120 days. He's in Olam HaRuchni. He's coming from Ruchnius. What does Moshe see first? What's his focus in life? What does he recognize? He recognizes the ruchnius of the kelim. And the inside of the kelim, you focus on the most special kli, because it has the most special ruchnius. And that's the aron, and the menorah, and the kelim. Mishum kach la'akar Moshe Rabbeinu shor bar abar yom. He got the tzivui of Hashem, but you know what? Moshe was in such a ruchni world. Kolsim imenu agashmius. Aches dakek lios ruchani. Ke'echon mitzvah marom. He wasn't eating, he wasn't drinking. And Hashem tells him, line 7. Kemara asher haresa bahar v'chein tasu. Like these kelim that I showed you and described to you, like these do. So Moshe says, like these? Up here, I see Ruchnius first. Up here, I saw Pnimi first. Harich nitztava lasos kaseda harishalo. Umikiva chekamuras kvar hafak l'ruchani, niralo ha'aron ha'ruchani shemakelim harishon mikulam. He sees the kelim first, because that's the most Ruchnius part of the Mishkan. V'yachar kacha kelim, v'yachar kacha Mishkan. And that's why he tells Bezalel, you got to make the kelim first. Because what stands out in Moshe Rabbeinu's mind? The tzad haruchni, the tzad hapnimi of the kelim. But he comes down to Bezalel. And Bezalel, very spiritual person, but Bezalel is living in Olam Hazeh. Bezalel realizes what you have to do to build a Mishkan, a physical world, which will house the pnimius. But you have to have proper rules for the physical world. Line 14, Avo Bezalel, Shenivchalios Poel Uman Alakelim B'Melechas Charash V'Choshev. He's in charge of both. Which comes first, though? Charash V'Choshev. V'Hu Ka'adam Achai B'Olam Agashmi. He knows what to do. Kalim Sha'aniyoseh. 16, Kalim that I'm making. Moshe, I'm making these Kalim. I am physically fashioning these Kalim. Lehechan Achnisam. Klomar. In other words, what does Bezalel say? The kelim that you saw on the mountain, that's fine. You can make those kelim first. But I'm building my kelim. Kelim shani ose. These kelim, where would I put them? I have to first focus on the physical. And the most physical is the outside, the walls. And then you go in and in until you get to the most spiritual inside. So what does Moshe respond? You're right. Bitzel kel hayita. In the shadow of God. What in the shadow of God? I've been up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I didn't realize that down here is only the shadow. It's the Olam HaGashmi. Bitzel kel hayita. Now I realize, you're right. He didn't switch it on purpose. He realized where he was coming from. But now I realize this Mishkan, it's got to be for the Olam HaGashmi first. Bitzel kel, you were in the shadow. You realize, you have it right. You know exactly what is needed. That's a Gaon Yaakov to answer the Pnei Yeshua's Kasha on the second Pasuk in Parshas Bekute. Okay, continuing. Lamed Tes Yud Dalet, all about the Begadim. Pasuk Ches already starts talking about the Choshen, all of the stones that are mentioned on the Choshen, the 12 stones mentioned on the Choshen, and the Ephod, all the Kalim are mentioned. Ha'ara, mentioned by Rabbi Tzion Firer, contemporary, semi-contemporary, in one of his many sets of Svarim, set called Panim Chadashim Batorah. Panim Chadashim Batorah. Says the Rabbi Tzion Firer, there's one kli that's missing in Pekudei that is mentioned in Tetzaveh. He has part one and part two of his Vart, and that is the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim are not mentioned in Pekudei. It's an amazing pickup. Why aren't the Urim V'Tumim, the Choshen's mentioned? You put the Urim V'Tumim inside the Choshen, so why aren't the Urim V'Tumim mentioned? The special Shem Hashem you put inside, it helps the letters light up. So why aren't the Urim V'Tumim mentioned? It's also part of the dress of the Kohen Gadol. Line source 11. Kan v'sipor l'asiyas begadim ain't a cause of maskeras Urim V'Tumim shayi b'choshen. V'ilu b'parshas tetzaveh b'tzivui l'asiyas begadim maskera cause of gamas Urim V'Tumim. So, answer, very insightful on the mark, line 10. What's the purpose of Tetzaveh? What's the purpose of Pekudei? Tetzaveh is not just about the description of the Begadim. Tetzaveh also includes the purpose of the Begadim. The Tachlis of the Begadim. L'chavod u'lisifares is mentioned in Tetzaveh. It's not mentioned in Pekudei. Tetzav is about description plus tachlis, goal, function. Pekudei is purely description. Ki Urim V'Tumim b'tzuras sheshem ha'meforash eino mibeit kahuna. As we know, Chazal tell us, The Urim Bitumim is not a required beged of the Kohen Gadol. After all, second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Urim Bitumim. The Gemara Maseches Yuma says there were a number of items missing in the second Beis HaMikdash. There was no Urim Bitumim, and yet they did Avoda. Haraya, that shows that you don't need the Urim Bitumim to do the Avoda. You need the Choshen. The Urim Bitumim goes inside the Choshen. And Pekudi is just about describing the Big Day Kahuna. Not, what is the Choshen used for? If the Urim Bitumim are in it, it's to light up and give answers to our questions. That's function. Description of the Begadim, you don't need to mention the Urim Bitumim. You don't need to mention it. Lochein b'parshatenu, ba mesupar ach v'rak al asiyas ha-begadim, v'lo al ofen ha-shimesh bohem, a makom l'saper al Urim Bitumim, shalo ha-yuchelek mi Big Day Kahuna. It wasn't really part of the Begadim. V'gam b'ladim in Kohen Gadol, m'chus ha-begadim. L'umatzos, but in contrast to this, the Parshas Tetzaveh, Ba Kasuv Lorak Inyan Asiyas HaBegadim. The Tetzaveh is not just about the description, Elagam Ofen Hashimish Bahem. Also, how they're used, what they're used for, what's the function? Kamo, Hal Bashatam, Vakravas Karbanos Mehem, wearing them, Karbanos. That is all mentioned only in Tetzaveh and Anipakute. Part one. Question, why is it in there? Differences between Tetzaveh and Pakute. But then he continues, fascinating. We know that the Urim Bitumim, we discussed this last year, Parshat Tetzaveh, the Urim Bitumim went inside the Choshen, and the way that it worked was, when a question was asked, the letters lit up, and in that way, the Kohen Gadol, or the Kohanim, would be able to read and decipher an answer. The question, though, Chazal asks is, not all letters are in the names of the Shvatim. What if you have to give an answer with a tzaddik? A tzaddi. Right? Sadi is not on in any of the Shvatim's names. What if you have to give an answer with that? Fourth, third to last line. V'yalzeh ba hatshuva, Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov kasav sham. Don't worry. The Avos were also on the Choshen. Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov were also written there. So, Sadi is taken care of. It's in Yitzchak. So Gemara says, he's still missing. You have all the Shvatim. You have Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. There's no tests. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and all the Shvatim, there's no test there. Chazal said it. Don't try to figure it out. V'haloksiv tes. Answer, there were another two words. Shiftei Yishurun. The Shvatim of Yishurun, so called by Pasuk in Zosa Brach, I think. Shiftei Yishurun. That was also. So it said, on the Shvatim, there were 12 stones. Every Sheva got a stone. So on top of the Shvatim, it said, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shiftei Yishurun. So Aleph, Beis were on the top of the first one. Or Aleph, Beis, Reish. However, it was split up. It was split across. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shiftei Yishurun. Ask Rav Tzion Firer, wouldn't it have been neater to just make another row of stones on the Choshen? So you didn't have to have 12. There were 12 Shvatim. Just have 16 stones and have another row with Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Shiftei Yishurun. You have to squeeze it in. To squeeze in the letters. You know, it's probably hard enough to write one thing on a little stone. To have to squeeze in Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Just give Avram his own stone and give Yitzchak his own stone and Yaakov and Shiftei Yishurun. Wonderful. Why do you... It would be even. Nice 4 and 4. A beautiful grid. Right? So why do you have to squeeze it? Give him their own row. Never saw that question before. V'nishalat ha-sheilayim, kein, lama lo ha-mahayu rak, shtem esrei, turning to the back, avanim b'choshev lo shesh esrei. Why'd you squeeze it in? Two answers, each one teaches us something. Aleph, on line 8. Es ha-shemos avram yisrael v'yakov v'yefshar l'chalik l'sholosh avanim, evan l'kol echad mehem. Why? Ki shloshes ha-avos echad heim. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov aren't split. They are a unit. They are the foundation of our faith. The Shiftei Ka, the Shvatim, yes, that's B'nai Yisrael. We each have our own kochos, our own talents. And the Magen Avraham quotes on Hilchos Tefillah that there are 12 windows in a shul. There's a midah because every Shevet Tefillah goes through its own window to Shamayim. So once you get to the Shvatim, we each have our own flag. Then we're split. But the Avos are for everybody. And it's a unit of Avos. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Shlosha Nikru Avos. But they all won. They're all the Avos of the our forefathers. Anu kolim osam bebracha achas betzilasenu. There's only one bracha about the Avos. Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is all the first bracha. If we would have written them on separate stones, it wouldn't have worked. And you can't write all three of them on one and then shift the Yishur on another one, because then what, 3, 3, 3, and 2? Four, 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 and two? You have to figure out the shapes. Oh, that's not a kasha. So answer number one is, the Avos are a unit. They have to be either on one stone or spread out over all the Shvatim. Because in that way, they are not separated from each other. But then there's another answer. And this could be used at a simcha, if anybody has to speak the Shabbos. Line 18, base. You can't write the avos on their own stones. Why? Those shvatim can be different from each other. Parents, fathers, and children, you can't separate. Every child comes from the father. Children are shaped and created by their parents. And if we would have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov on separate stones, as if to say, here are the parents and here are the children, you can't have that. The children come from the fathers. Ki im mutar la'achav sheyu achirim zemizeh. Each child is allowed to be different from each other, but each child's got to get something from the parents. Each child is molded by the parents. Asur lebanim sheyu achirim me'avoseihem. Right? Children cannot be, they can be different from each other. Right? We look at kids, they can be, they all look different, but there's a little of the mother in that one, a little of the father in that one. Shoni b'tzeva v'tiv shel eben ha'avos. The difference on the avos, matzbion v'tivon shel avnei ha'shvatim. Each av and the avos are all spread out on all of the shvatim stones. Because you can't separate the parents and the children. Line 25. Lachein mutav shelo tia eben miyuchedes la'avos. Don't have a separate stone for the fathers. Atah, kishalo haisa eben miyuchedes la'avos. If they don't have their own stone, just spread them out on all the kids. Because all the kids got something from the parents. And the parents are mashpia on each of the children. And on all the shifte yeshurin. And therefore, at the end, lomar, ein havdel bein ha'avos v'habanim. There are no differences. Habanim ha'ochim b'darchei ha'avos. Each child gets a little bit of the parent, right? The whole, you don't have Avraham on Reuven's stone, the entire Avraham. You have a little bit of Avraham on Reuven's stone. You have Aleph and Beis, because a little bit of Avraham went to Reuven, a little bit of Avraham went to Shimon. Keeps going, because they all got some from the parents. And even though the last few got Shifti Yeshurin, they didn't get the Avos, but it's still not a separation of the Avos from the Bad. This fits into what Rav Goldberg says, various places, even the word stone, this fits perfectly. The word Evan is Av and Ben. I'm talking about stones. Evan is Av and Ben. Or he also says, Evan is Abba, Ben, Neched. Right? Three generations. So even the word Evan, it's all about Avanim, parents and children. Even the word itself reflects the relationship. Okay, one more thought for the night. And then we have, I don't think we've ever quoted him before, Reb David Feinstein. Reb David Feinstein, Reb Moshe's son, his sefer on Chumash, Kol Dodi. This time of year, the Kol Dodi is famous, though. This time of year. Because the chumrah of Reb Moshe not to have grape juice at the Seder, he's the only posik who says that, is not written in the Egros Moshe. It's in the Kol Dodi Haggadah. Reb David Feinstein quotes his father. They shouldn't have grape camp because you need yayin ha-meshacher. Even according to Reb Moshe, you can mix it with a little wine, you're fine. But that chumrah is in the Kol Dodi Haggadah. It's not in the Igros Moshe. I don't think. Maybe it's in the posthumous volume. They put it in. But it's in the Kol Dodi Haggadah. Anyway, so at the end of the Parsha, actually we did quote him once before, I remember, because he quotes all of the thoughts about how many psukim are in each Parsha. So we did quote him once before. Okay. Says the Torah at the end of the Parsha. We know that the culmination of this Sefer, of Sefer Shmos, which starts off, Klal Yisrael, going down to Mitzrayim, the culmination, as we spoke about a little bit last year, is the Mishkan. And Hashraz HaShchin, the last Pasuk, Ki Anan Hashem Ala Mishkan Yomam, the cloud comes down. This is the ultimate. The purpose wasn't just Har Sinai, which was a one-time event. It was Hashraz HaShchin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu amongst Klal Yisrael. This was the ultimate purpose of the entire Sefer. But if you look in the third to last Pasuk, Uvehealos anami ala mishkan yisu bnei Yisrael. When the cloud left the mishkan, bnei Yisrael left. Right? So the cloud, time to go. Ve'imlo yeleh anan. And if the cloud didn't move, velo yisu ad yom he'alaso. Then they didn't leave. They didn't leave. Rav David Feinstein points out that there's an extra letter in Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vilo yisu. What is that vav? Previous Pasuk says, when the cloud moved, Bnei Yisrael traveled. And when the cloud didn't move, and Bnei Yisrael didn't travel. What do you mean, and? When the cloud moved, Bnei Yisrael traveled. The cloud didn't move, Bnei Yisrael didn't travel. No, it says, and when the cloud didn't move, and Bnei Yisrael didn't travel. It's an extra vav. Extra vav. What's that extra vav teaching me? The cloud didn't move, and they didn't travel. Says Rav David Feinstein in the last source. The word and, line 5, tells us that not only would the Jews not travel if Hashem did not command it, they would not even want to travel without Hashem's command. So difficult was it for them even to contemplate separating themselves from the divine presence in their camp. This is a higher level than the one we spoke of above. Not only did they do what they were told, they wanted to do it in that way. The level that we strive to achieve is not just doing the mitzvahs, but wanting to do the mitzvahs. Having a desire. The cloud's not moving, I have no desire to go anywhere. The cloud moves, okay, I'm ready. That's the extra vav. The cloud didn't move, and Bnei Yisrael didn't move. And Bnei Yisrael didn't move because they didn't want to move. Because, as it says in Pirkei Avos, their ratzon was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. They were able to condition themselves, like we saw before, from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. It's all the Shem Shemayim, just take all of our money. We're not going to have a plaque, don't worry about it. It's only going to be for 2 weeks, the Mishkan, don't worry about it. Because their ratzon, they developed into exactly HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. When there comes any mitzvah our way, we should try to reach the level of not just doing it because we have to do it. It's not an ol. We call it an ol mitzvos, but it shouldn't be an ol. It shouldn't be a burden. It should be something that we run to do, that we love to do, and that we try to do. This is 2/5 of the Torah as we get through Parshas Pekudei, and we should be mechadish ourselves on this Parshas HaChodesh. Mechadish ourselves to really make sure that we want to do all the mitzvos and not just force ourselves to do it because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says so.